The Justice Department today charged 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian companies with seeking to interfere with the U.S. election system, including the 2016 presidential election, when they sought to support Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders and disparage Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein announced the charges this afternoon.
The defendants allegedly purchased space on computer servers located here in the United States in order to set up a virtual private network. The defendants posed as politically and socially active Americans, advocating for and against particular candidates. They established social media pages and groups to communicate with unwitting Americans.
The indictment states that some of those unwitting Americans were Trump campaign officials, but Rosenstein said there is no allegation that Russian meddling affected the election outcome in 2016. Joining us now, NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Hi, Phil.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And what more does this indictment say about how these Russians allegedly operated?
Well, it's really interesting. This is some of the most official detail that we've gotten so far because, again, all the investigations by Congress and the special counsel are still ongoing about exactly what the origins were of this attack. And it traces the timeline all the way back to the year 2014. And in fact, the Russian operatives who were connected with this so-called Internet Research Agency, which works with the Russian government and its intelligence agencies, actually traveled physically to the United States to do some reconnaissance. And you also heard a moment ago about how they bought computer services or hardware in the United States that would enable them to connect from their offices in St. Petersburg and post on things like Facebook and Twitter while appearing to be inside the United States and thus disguise their origins in Russia. And so from that date, much farther ago than we believed, this attack began against the 2016 election. The groundwork was being laid in terms of the physical reconnaissance and the actual purchasing that was being done of hardware or server space or other things actually here in the U.S.
One of the interesting things in here is that they were allegedly paying people, the Russians were paying people to participate in pro-Trump rallies.
That's right. And this is part of the game with this story, where we're putting together pieces of information that we're learning from different sources to try and form a mosaic of what we know. The details about the use of Facebook and Twitter to organize these real-world events have been out there. They've been reported extensively in the press. They've been talked about in public by members of Congress. But now we know that there were Russian trolls or Russian influence mongers involved with that as well, including in getting people to show up by paying them, as you just said. So not only were they convening things on Facebook and saying on such and such a date and such a place, let's have a rally for the candidate Trump as he was, they actually were making electronic transfers or, you know, paying people in other ways to get them to actually show up and have the crowd be bigger and potentially to have more of an effect than they might have gotten otherwise.
In terms of the interactions between these people and people associated with the Trump campaign, does it appear that the Trump campaign did not know that they were Russians?
That's what the indictment said, and that's what the Deputy Attorney General said today. So what could have happened, based on the information in the indictment, is you're a Russian influence monger with this Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg, and you're pinging people at the Florida Committee for Trump, for example, and saying, we're going to be involved, our group wants to send people, or we're going to be helping you on Facebook by getting the word out. And they may have gotten messages back from people in New York or in Florida or elsewhere saying, that's great, thanks for helping us. Or if your guys show up for a protest, here's what we want their signs to say, or here's how their T-shirts should read today, things of that level. But there, according to Rosenstein in the indictment, was, at least in that context, no awareness by the Americans who were working for the Trump campaign that they weren't just dealing with fellow travelers. You know, they're political activists they were dealing with all the time as part of the presidential campaign.
How close are these indicted Russians to Russian President Vladimir Putin?
Well, the Internet Research Agency works for someone who's very close to Putin. And one of the lessons of this story about the way Russia wields influence throughout the world is that the Russian government uses all kinds of ways to get access to people, to work its will around the world. And I don't know the answer specifically because of the information in the indictment about whether they were, for example, Russian government employees or worked for the FSB, the Russian intelligence agency, one of them, or whether they were contractors who were just kind of brought in because this this money was made available, but the effect was the same. This is something the U.S. intelligence community has said was directed from the highest levels inside the Russian government, and one of the tentacles of the octopus was this influence campaign run on social media by these cyber operatives.
So, Phil, we've had indictments now against George Papadopoulos, against Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, now these Russians. What does this tell you about what's coming next?
It says that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. And one interesting thing about the indictment is the amount of granularity of the detail that the United States has about these guys. There's a story about one Russian flying to Atlanta in 2014 and then giving his expense report back to his boss, and another one getting lit up because he wasn't posting enough bad things about Hillary Clinton. So the feds know a lot. The Justice Department knows a great deal. And we just have to wait and see how much of that we and the public will eventually learn.
That's Phil Ewing, NPR National Security Editor. Phil, thank you.
Thank you.